Since I haven't, this is the third time I've been here, been here while the pastor was here, and he hasn't really had an opportunity to hear me preach. He said I can go three times as long. No, he didn't say that. I'm mindful of the time, and we'll try to get you out of here at normal time. Now, normal time could be 8:15, 8:30. I heard there's some we're supposed to be going through about 8:15 or 8:30, so it might be better for you guys just to stay in here. I'll keep you safe, right? No. But God's been good to us. So if you do have any questions about our ministry, what we do, certainly chat with us after the service. And we'd love to talk to you. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the story of Jonah. We've heard it, if you've grown up in church, you've heard Jonah many, many times. I'm sure none of you spent any time in the belly of a whale, though, have you? I don't think there's anyone here that can say that I've been where Jonah has been. Maybe you've gone through some Jonah-like situations, though, in your life. Maybe you wanted to go this way in life or this way for a certain situation, but God said, nope, I want you to go in this direction. And you had that conflict there. What do we do? What do I do? When I was in the Air Force, I knew that the Lord wanted me to go to a certain assignment. I knew he wanted me to go in a certain direction. And I did everything I could to go in the opposite direction. I did everything I could to try to get out of going to that assignment because I didn't want to go to that one assignment. And, so I started making plans. I went my own way. And after a while, I realized, I can probably make this happen and not go to that one assignment I want to go to. But then I realized that God won't get the glory for that because I'm doing it on my own. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing here. I'm just going to let things go and I'm going to trust you. And whatever happens, happens. So wouldn't you know it, a couple of months later, I get a call from my boss and he says, congratulations, you got the assignment that you didn't want to go to. So that's how the Lord works things out. But, so once I stopped doing things my way, I submitted to God, he out better than I actually ever expected. But I was running from him. And it wasn't until I stopped running and just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to put my faith and trust in you, that things started to work out. And it was during this time in my life that I learned some pretty important lessons, biblical lessons here. I learned it's more important to maintain a life of humility and obedience to God than rather having a prideful, arrogant spirit, thinking I can do it on my own. So we need that spirit of humility in our lives for the Lord to use us and to lead us. God is very clear when he speaks to us through his word and through the Holy Spirit. And we'll see that here in a minute, that he was very clear with Jonah when he talked with Jonah. But unfortunately, many of us today never experience the liberty and the joy that comes with following God's plan, God's way. And why is that? Because we think we know better. We think we have it all figured out. We know better than God. And that's why sometimes we don't experience that joy and that liberty that comes with knowing and loving God. Well, that's kind of what was going on with Jonah here. Jonah didn't want to obey or follow God's will. He hated the Ninevites. He wanted to see them wiped out. He wanted to see them destroyed. But God's call for Jonah was for Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach. So what does Jonah do? Well, let's pick it up here. If you found your place in Jonah, we'll start with chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We'll be throughout the book here tonight, but let's just read these first five verses in Jonah chapter 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So tonight I want to preach a message to you that I've called, Stop Running, Get Up and Go Do the Will of God. Stop running, get up and go do the will of God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this time you've given to us tonight. Lord, these folks didn't come to hear me tonight. They came to hear from you. And I pray that you'd use me, Lord, to articulate your message, speak to the hearts of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word that we can gather around tonight freely. We didn't have to come here under gunpoint or in secret. Lord, we can still freely praise you and study your word. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us tonight, that the Holy Spirit would set down here in this place, and that you'd get glory and honor for all things. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So many of us know the story of Jonah, how God called him to deliver the message of repentance to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to do it, did he? He was pretty stubborn, and he didn't want to listen to his authority. There's none of those people in here that don't want authority, right? You're all perfect. You all listen to your bosses. You listen to your parents, right? You're not rebellious. No, some of us, each of us have a little Jonah-like spirit in us, don't we? We all have that stubbornness sometimes. You know, Jonah thought that that if he can just get as far away from God as possible, that God's message wouldn't be delivered and that Nineveh would be destroyed. But that's what God wanted. That's what Jonah wanted, but that's not what God wanted. And to give some context, Nineveh was the capital of the time. And the Ninevites were the enemy of Israel. Kind of like if you think of today, certain people groups that we think of, we know they're just bad, evil people. And that's happening here with Nineveh. They were evil there. And Jonah wanted to see get the judgment that they deserved. But God had other plans. And God wanted to give them another chance. God wanted to give them a second chance. So three things that I want to consider tonight as we think about the call of God. Think about the call of God in your life. Think about the call of God in your life and how he may want to use you and what he's doing in your life. So first we see there needs to be a call. There needs to be a call. So Jonah's call was a direct call from God. Now we don't know in what manner the Lord spoke to Jonah, but scripture shows us here that Jonah's call was clear. It was clear, and Jonah's call was directly from God. And when the Lord speaks to our heart, we know that there's no question what God is wanting us to do. I mean, we know in our heart of hearts, when we're in tune with God, we're trusting the Lord, we know that he wants us to go in a certain direction. We know when he's talking to us. But what do many of us do? Many of us are just like Jonah, and we spend time maybe trying to run away from God's will, trying to do our own thing, or say, well, Lord, I really want to go to this college, or I want this job, or I want to do this. And we try to squeeze things to make it work out for our benefit. And sometimes we do that. But look again here at verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. God didn't call his brother. God didn't call his sister or his mother or his father. God called Jonah. He was very specific. The call was directed at Jonah for Jonah. And when God speaks to us, that is for us. It's directed to us. It's for us. There's no way that Jonah understood what God wanted him to do. And when the Lord speaks to our heart and calls us to do something, it will be a direct call. It'll be an undeniable call. So not only was Jonah's call direct, but his call was also divine. Notice in verse 1 that the word of the Lord there is in all capitals. It's in all capitals. That meant it wasn't a vision, it wasn't a dream, but it came from God himself. It was the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator God who gave Jonah this divine call. And now for us today, we're not going to hear an audible voice from God. That's not going to happen today like it did with Moses and Joshua and Jonah here. Today, the Lord speaks to us how? He speaks to us through his word, or when we spend time in his word, time in prayer. That's how he speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, through preaching, and his call is just as clear to us today when we read his word, when we study his word, or when we pay attention to great preaching like you're hearing tonight. Amen? Okay, some of you are still with me. I just wanted to see who's tracking, okay? But that's how he talks to us, right? It's good that you come to church. It's good that you hear preaching. It's good that you read the Bible and you spend time with God. That's how he speaks to our heart. And now Jonah here, he has a mandate. He has a direct and a divine call to get up and to go and deliver a message to Nineveh. You know, all of us that are Bible-believing Christians, each and every one of us have a mandate. We have a direct mandate from God, and that's to deliver his message. And that message is to do what? To go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's up to all of us. That's what we, each and every one of us, have that responsibility. That may not always be easy for us to do, but when God calls us to do something, we need to stop running from him and just get up and go do it. Do his plan, follow his will, and do it his way, not our way. And that's important for us to know that. If God called you to the mission field, what are you waiting for? Get up and go. We had some young folks here. What's the Lord doing in your life? Maybe he's calling you to go into the mission field, go into ministry. What is he doing in your life? If he's called you to sing, I know I'm not a singer, that's for sure. But maybe music is your thing. Music or going to that. What are you waiting for? Just get up and go. Just start doing it. Do what he's calling you to do. If he's called you to teach or to preach, stop running away from God. Just get up and go do it. Go teach. Go preach. Go do what he's called you to do. So don't. Was Jonah's call a direct and divine call? It was also a disobeyed call. We see it's a disobeyed call. Look again in verse 3, chapter 1. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it. So you see he's going further down. He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah heard that specific and direct call of God. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do, but we see what? He clearly disobeyed. He clearly disobeyed. So how about you tonight? Is the Lord speaking to you in a certain way? Has the Lord been working in some areas? Does he want you to go in a certain direction or do something, either in ministry, in life, whatever it is? You know that clear call from God, but are you disobeying him or are you obeying him? That's the point where Jonah's at tonight. That's where we find Jonah tonight. Only three verses into this chapter, and we already see Jonah's disobedience. Where we read there, it says, he finds a ship going to Tarshish. How convenient. Just what Jonah wanted. That ship was a way out to doing God's will. Now, when you run from God, Satan will always make sure that there's a ship going in the opposite direction. Amen? There's always going to be something there. If we don't want to do something and we know it's God's will, and Satan will always put something there to pull us away and move us away from God's direction. You know, Satan's choices may be more appealing to our flesh, and it may be easier to justify going in that opposite direction. Mark it down. Our defiance will always pull us away from our obedience to God. And when we search long and hard enough for a way out of God's will, we'll certainly find it, won't we? We'll certainly find it. You know, if God's calling, stop your stalling. Amen. If God's calling you to do something, just go do it. Don't wait. Don't stop. Just go. So not only do we see the call of God, that it's direct and specific for Jonah and for each of us, but we also must have the right character when we respond to God's call. There's different ways we can respond to God's call. Whatever it was that caused Jonah to run from the will of God, he made the wrong choice. He displayed the wrong character. So let's quickly look at three things here that happened to Jonah as a result of his poor character or his bad attitude. First, we see the person that gets left behind. Look again in verse 3, beginning of verse 3. It says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. From who? From the presence of the Lord. So I can't imagine purposely running away from God. I mean, he was very defiant. He purposely ran away. He went in the wrong direction. He had the wrong character, the wrong attitude about following God's will for his life. And when we have that same attitude, we'll drift further and further away from God. Maybe it starts with just missing one service a week, or maybe not reading your Bible anymore. Maybe say, oh, well, it's 5-10 minutes anymore. And then it just continues to snowball. And before you know it, then you're no longer in church. You're no longer reading your Bible. You're no longer desiring to have that personal walk with God. Why is that? All because you chose against God, to go in a different direction, to leave God behind. So he's the one that gets left behind. And we're the one who suffers for that. Secondly, we see the place Jonah's disobedience character took him. Look at in the middle of verse 3. It says, and he went down. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So now Tarshish was a city that was clear across the Mediterranean Sea, all the way on the western edge of Spain. It was about 2,200 miles or so away. From where he was, opposite of Nineveh. Now, Tarshish, on the other hand, was the furthest location that he physically can get away from. But Nineveh, it was only about 500 miles away. So Nineveh was much closer. But what does Jonah choose to do? He chooses to go in the opposite direction that was much, much further away. You know, I'm sure most of us here tonight can think of times in our lives when we were disobedient to God, and we went the long way around to finally figured out, okay, I need to be doing what God really wants me to do. Now, it took us a long way around there. And some of us probably had to go quite a distance out of the way before we finally woke up and submitted to God's will. So the word down here in verse 3, down is mentioned just a few other times there as well throughout the book of Jonah. And down always indicates a path away from the will of God, away from the will of God. We read he went down to Joppa, and then he went down into it, and then he went down into the sides of the ship. Again, just trying to get further and further and further from God. And I don't know about you, but I want to give my best to the Lord. I don't want to go away from God. I want to get closer. I want to get closer to the will of God. I want to be right in the center of his will. As I mentioned, I'm not a singer. I'm not to do that, but I like the hymn, Higher Ground. I like the words there. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And so on and so forth. So we want to be pressing on. We want to keep moving forward to what God wants us to do and not run away from God. So we need to do all we can to be obedient to the call of God and walk with him every day. And when we do that, our direction will always be upward or forward. Third, we see the price that Jonah paid for his ungodly character. Look again in verse 3 near the end there. It says, and he, talking about Jonah, found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah didn't want any part of God's plan. He didn't want any part of it there. It's obvious there. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want to see those people. So what does he do? He finds that alternative. He finds a way to get out of doing God's will. So once he finds that alternative, verse 3 there says what? He paid the fare thereof. Now I can park it right here tonight and just talk on that verse alone, paying the fare thereof. Nobody wants to purposely pay the wages of sin. We know it's wrong to lie, to covet, or to disobey God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Is death. Right? No reasonable person would want to pay the wages of sin. But how many Christians are willing to pay the wages to sin? To sin. Maybe missing church or skipping out on devotions, just one service or just a few minutes each day. Or maybe you know God's called you to teach or to preach or called you to go to the mission field. You're going in an opposite direction. You don't want to do it. But God wants you to do it. That's a disobedient character. That's paying the wages to sin. We need to obey God's call the first time that he speaks to us. The first time. I find it interesting to read the book of Jonah that everything obeyed the Lord's voice the first time except for Jonah. All right? The storm obeyed, the sea obeyed, the bird obeyed, and even the whale obeyed the Lord the first time, but not Jonah. It took a little while to get to Jonah there. No matter how hard we try, our disobedience will never change God's direction for our lives. Our disobedience will never change God's direction. The Lord has specific plans for all of us, and only us individually, whatever he has planned for us, calling. So not only do we see the importance of a call and responding to the will of God there and having the right character, but finally tonight, I want to look at the consequences. So we have the call, the character, and the consequences of how we respond to God's call. So no matter what you might be trying to run from tonight, know this, you can't run from God. You can't run from God. Now, there are certainly consequences when we disobey the call of God, but those consequences don't just impact you. They impact those around you also when you're outside of the will of God. See, the consequences for Jonah and his disobedience, it also put the men at risk that were in the ship there. It wasn't just him that was being disciplined by God there, but all others, because of disobedience, others were in that ship too. And they were just as much at risk as well. But once Jonah confessed to the men in the ship that all the turmoil was because of his disobedience, in verse 15 in chapter 1, the men eventually throw him overboard. The storm stops and Jonah gets swallowed up by the whale. So now I know many of you like it the other way around. Now many of you like to eat fish instead of being eaten by a fish, right? A lot of people like fish. But imagine now that you're in the belly of the whale, of the fish, of the whale. Imagine the smell, the seaweed and everything that's in there. I mean, this is a real deal, right? If we believe the Bible to be true, we know he's in the belly of a whale. So there's probably dead fish in there. There's seaweed, maybe stomach acid that's in there, maybe burning his legs or his arms or whatever it is, right? Burning his skin. It wasn't a fancy hotel. And if he was in the belly of Well, for that long, no doubt the whale's going up and down. There's no seatbelts in the whale, right? So he was probably getting sloshed around and banged around and all that, whatever was going on. There was no Starbucks in there. There was nothing like that, right? It was a real thing. And he was getting banged around. So he was inside the belly of the whale there, and that went on for days. Let's take a look at over in chapter 2. Let's look at chapter 2 now. In verses 1 and 2, we'll take there and then go down to verse 7. Verse 1, chapter 2 says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice." And drop down to verse 7. "So when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple." So Jonah finally gets his heart right, and the Lord delivers him from his affliction. But it was only after that he had to endure some pretty extreme consequences. And we see that at the end of chapter 2, this is also a picture of God's unending grace towards us. No matter how depressed or how desperate or how disobedient we are, we see the grace of God here. Right? There's no situation, no location that could ever prevent our sincere prayers from ever being heard by God. Jonah was in the belly of a whale, underwater. God still heard him. God answered his prayer. So there's no place that we can go that God will not hear us and answer our prayer. You know, you can save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of negative consequences if we just stop running from God. Just get up and call God. If God called you to it, he'll get you through it. Amen? It's the thing that I like. If God called me to it, he'll give me the tools and the techniques and whatever I need to get me through it. And Jonah cried out to God in repentance, and God delivered him. Verse 10 there, chapter 2 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So God could have let Jonah rot inside the belly of the whale there for his disobedience and for the consequence of it. He could use someone else to deliver the message. Use any other means for that message to get to Nineveh. But this was his specific call, his specific plan for Jonah. You may think you're not qualified or ready to fulfill God's call in your life. Maybe you're scared to go in a direction God's calling you. But think about the consequences of you not answering the call. Think about the consequences of not doing what God is calling you to do. Maybe he wants you to reach a nation. Maybe he wants you to reach a country. Maybe a people group. Maybe a community. Maybe your family member. Maybe someone in the workplace. And every minute that we delay from not doing God's will, others are not hearing. Others are slipping off into eternity. You know, for me, I didn't fill out an application to go to the print shop and to be the director of our printing ministry. I had no desire to do that. It's just something the Lord wanted me to do. He said, "This is where I need you right now." So I left the military. I got out of the military. I didn't have to retire. I shared that with you before. But this is what God has called me to do. This is his call for my life, and I answered that call. But how about you? What is he calling you to do? Where does he want you to be? Place to be is right in the center of his will. You know, I didn't even have plans to go to the Philippines in 2020 or this last one in 2024. There's too much rice in the Philippines, and there's not enough good coffee in the Philippines. But God said, "That's where I want you. You need to go to the Philippines. You need to talk to these students. You need to go do these things with whatever he called us to do in the villages." And we did it. So God said, "Stop your running. Stop complaining. Just get up and go. Do my will." And that's what we did. And he blessed, as you saw in the. You know, there's tons of more men qualified, more qualified than I, but God said, "Do this, and I want you to, and I'll bless you." There's a lot of souls that's the gospel that still need to hear God. So I'm just doing my part, what he's called me to do, obeying God, to print his word, and to get it to places all around the world. I mean, we might be sending some to another missionary, potentially in Nigeria. So that's another. Are in place. I mean, it is. Whatever God calls us to do, we're going to do it. But how about you tonight? What's the Lord calling you to do? You know, there's consequences when we don't answer his call. Jonah had a bad attitude. He had a disobedient character, and he experienced negative to the call of God. Yet after all that, after all the consequences because of his disobedience, God calls you more time. And it's Jonah's second chance. In chapter 1, God's message to Jonah was, "Arise, go to Nineveh and cry against it." Now look in chapter 3 with me. Chapter 3, verse 2. God's calling Jonah once again. And God tells him, he says, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, the preaching that I. So notice that God's call here has not changed. It's still the same. God is consistent. He never changes. He never moves away from us. We're the ones who move away from Him. We need to get back to the center. Get back to studying His Word, knowing His Word, knowing His will, and doing it. In chapter 3, again, 3 and 5, Jonah eventually delivered that message that the Lord told him to deliver, and the consequences for his obedience were almost immediate there. When he obeyed, we see there's immediate consequences. The remainder of chapter 3, the people of away from their sin, and there's a consequence for being obedient. So God knew that Jonah was sinful and they were going in the wrong direction, but his method is to send to proclaim his truth. He just needed that voice. He just needed someone to preach, someone to tell them. And how? What is God doing in your life? Maybe He wants to use your voice in your community, on a mission field. I don't know. What is He asking you to do? Romans 10:14 says, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach? They be sent." He calls Jonah to deliver the message, and the consequences of Jonah answering that call make a difference. So the challenge for all of us tonight is just be obedient to the Lord's call. Be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Stop running away. Get up and go. Do the will of God, whatever He's asking you to do. Spend time in the Bible. Listen to good preaching. Be humble. Be teachable. Let God write your life story. Leave it up to God. He knows what's best. Just let Him write your life story. Don't let your pride, your age, your finances, or maybe what you think is a lack of talent or a lack of ability keep you from doing what God called you to do. He'll give you everything you need. He'll give you everything you need to get where He wants you to be. Perhaps you know that you've been going in the direction opposite of God's will. Maybe He's calling you to a Nineveh or to serve in some other area of ministry, and He's been trying to get your attention. He used the whale for Jonah. What is He using in your life? What is He using to get your attention? Did you know it took longer for God to get to the preacher, to get him to obey, than it did to change the hearts of an entire city? Right? When Jonah was obedient, what happened? Things changed. They fasted. They prayed. They changed. But it took Jonah, he was a knucklehead, time after time after time, right? Before he finally gave in and, okay, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do. Jonah was sure that Nineveh deserved to be punished for their wickedness. And just, we're sure that some terrorist groups, as I mentioned, be punished. That might be so, but that's not our call. That's not our call to make those decisions. We don't get to make that choice. We just have to be faithful to answer the call. Given all this, Jonah becomes angry when nothing happened to Nineveh. Let's take a look in chapter 4 as we get ready to close here. Chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." So right in the middle of revival there in Nineveh, Jonah's getting angry. He's getting angry. Sometimes, you know, in the midst of our great successes, we experience defeat because we take our focus off of God. We take our focus off of God's plan and His purpose. And we're trying to do things on our own. But 12:3, it says to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Right? Don't think of yourself more highly. In other words, we need to have that spirit of humility there, a character quality that's absent of pride, absent of bitterness. And the problem with Jonah is that while he delivered the message that God wanted him to deliver to the people of Nineveh, he never allowed God's message to emanate in his own heart. Or change himself. And that's the problem here with Jonah. What was right, but he had a heart of stone, if you will. You know, a heart that was insensitive and out of touch with the Spirit of God. You know, we can read our Bible through 100 times in our life. Of all the head knowledge we can fit up there, if it's not in our heart, then I'd say you haven't changed from the time you first read your Bible, right? When we read the Word of God, in our heart, it's going to cause a change. There's going to be a change there. So just because those kinds of things are good to do, but it needs to get in your heart. That's where the growth starts. It's in your heart. Joy in the Christian life doesn't know or how many times we read our Bible or how many ministries we're serving in. Joy in the Christian life is the result of what you do, what you know. What you do with what you know. Doing. What are you doing with the call that God has placed on your life? Have you been running away from it? Running towards it. Maybe he's calling you into full-time missions. Maybe you're resisting. Maybe you're here today and you need to get saved. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you've been putting it off. During any time that you have a question about that, come see the pastor. If you're not saved and you need to know Christ as your Savior another day, I mean, you're not assured tomorrow. And if he's calling you to go in a certain direction, you're struggling with it, just go. Just go do what he's calling you to do. He'll give you what you need to get you where you need to go. Be not just hearers only. James 1, 22 through 25. John 9, 4 says, I must work the work send me while it is day. It's coming and work. You know, the Lord has given us an opportunity. He's given us an opportunity to reach. Hey, we need to do that. We're not called to keep the message to ourselves. We need to spread it as far and wide as we can. We need to give it out to do. Throughout the book of Jonah, we see someone here who was running from God's call, and he was rarely thankful for what God did for him. That he was bitter, he was miserable, he was ungrateful, all because he was outside of the will of God. And if you're bitter or miserable, if you're ungrateful, maybe you're outside of the will of God tonight. I don't know. But when we're inside the will of God, when we're doing his plan, his way, we'll have everything we need to get us where he wants us to go. And we'll have peace and that joy that passes all understanding. So as you just look at your life tonight, ask yourself, am I the person that God wants me to be? Am I obeying God with my life? Folks, God wants to use us, but he cannot use us when we're disobedient, when we're outside of his will. So stop running. Get up. Go serve the Lord. Answer the call. Respond with the right character. Consequences. Glorify God. So Nineveh didn't deserve God's mercy. Neither did Jonah. But the truth is, you know, we don't deserve either, do we? We don't deserve God's mercy. And though God could have used any other means, any other man to get the attention of the Ninevites, God called Jonah. He had a specific plan, a specific purpose for a specific person. And he needed him to execute that mission. He needed him to do what he called him to do so the Ninevites would have an opportunity to respond and to get saved. Maybe he's asking you to get up and go tonight, to serve him in a place that you may not want to go, or serve him in an area that you never thought you'd serve in. As I mentioned, I didn't want to go to certain jobs in the military. I resisted, and I didn't want to do it. And I tried to get out of it. But once I stopped running from God, once I gave him the reins and I let go of the, hey, Lord, you're in control. I'm giving it up to you. Once I did that, that's when he started to bless. And the sooner that we submit to God's will, the sooner he can use us to make a difference. So what are you waiting for tonight? Get up. Oh, do the will of God. Let's pray.